You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up this hour, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Today, as she often does, Jolie has a question for us about guys, cars, and driving. We'll get to that later on. Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian, is going to join us later. We've also got today's top five. Today, when he would have been, 88? The 88th anniversary of Frank Sinatra's birth, doing top five Frank Sinatra songs of all time. That's coming up later on in the show. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. This is Tim Riley. He is there in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A Montana business did not steal a Kansas man's idea for a bull castration device. The jury unanimously agreed that St. Ignatius's Wadworth Manufacturing Incorporated did not violate patents obtained by Michael Karachi of St. Francis, Kansas.
How great is it that a guy named Wadsworth invents a castration device?
Anyway, this fellow was seeking $2.7 million in damages, maintaining a belief that parts of the Wadsworth device were too much like his own patented product. Since the late 1980s, the Wadsworth family has been making a clamp-like tool that ranchers use to wrap tight bands around bulls' testicles.
Tight what?
Bands.
Ah, here's some words I don't even need to hear in relation to my testicles. Bands, tight, clamp.
Well, this is the easy bloodless castrator.
Ah! From Ronco, of course.
Easy and castrator cannot ever be used in the same sentence.
And bloodless. Because here's... Are we out of the lunch hour? Yeah, because here's the thing. When you hear the phrase, use our new easy bloodless castrator, what that immediately tells you is... Because, you know, Ron Popeil's whole thing is every product is based on solving a problem. Right? So the easy bloodless castrator... That lets you know that at some point there was a difficult bloody castrator that was on the market at some point. You know what I mean? And that was... never mind.
Though they say they've been improving this product over many, many years. In a related story, a German cannibal could be making a movie. That German cannibal holding talks with several film companies on a movie deal about his grisly story.
That darn cannibal.
42-year-old Armin Muyuz has begun writing his memoirs while in jail. Able to tell how he killed, carved up, and ate a victim who said he wanted to die. He will not comment on reports that a deal of potentially millions of dollars was an offer. He admits killing this fellow Brandes and eating at least 20 kilograms of his flesh. I'm not sure what the metric thing is here. But his defense says he is guilty of killing on demand, which carries a maximum jail sentence of 5 years. Cannibalism is not a crime in Germany. I felt like I was in a pathology lab, said a court official. She said everyone was forced to look away at some point because of the grisly nature of the videos, except the cannibal himself often grinned with glee.
I'll let you draw your own conclusions about Germany and the fact that cannibalism is actually... It's like how necrophilia, for the longest time, wasn't a crime in Utah. I mean, I don't know what that's all about, but I mean, I was living there when they actually made it. Because I guess they busted some guy for... I don't know. Humping somebody's dead stump or something. Anyway, and so they... No, they arrested him, and
I think maybe we could phrase it somewhat differently than humping somebody's dead stump.
Yeah, but then there's no rhyme. Anyway, and so they were like, "You're going to jail, my friend." And then they looked it up in the books, and they realized that it was not a. You don't really see that as a sticker, you know, down there by Hot Topic, though. Necrophilia is not a crime. But it is now. So here's this hour's high concept topic. So what will the cannibal's memoirs be titled?
To Serve Man.
There you go. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We'll, go ahead and take your contributions on that through the hours. We serve to, better humanity here on the, Rick Emerson Show. Let's talk to Jeff on a cell phone here on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. What's up?
Hey, so when I was a young kid and, we had some livestock at our house.
Yeah.
Well, on our farm, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, there was this tool that you could go borrow down at the feed store called an elasticizer.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a set of pliers. And then what it would do is you take these rubber band things that were really, really thick.
Yeah.
And then you squeeze the handle, and it, like, had these fingers that would stretch the thing out really wide to, like, 3 inches in diameter.
Uh-huh.
And then you come up behind the goat or the other livestock that you want to use the elasticizer on, and then you go ahead and get under there and release the thing, and then it'll cinch the band down, and eventually the whole thing just falls right off, and then you got that going on up in there.
How long does it take between the cinching and the falling off?
Well, they dry up and, like, shrivel up, and
I don't know,
it's a couple of weeks.
Why did I ask? Yeah,
and
that's...
It's, you know...
Makes you want to crush your legs, doesn't it?
It really does, and that's, and especially considering that they don't really have opposable thumb, so it's not a thing you can really adjust, you know, or anything for any sort of a better comfort.
Well, it's one size fits all is what it is.
Well, I guess it becomes that way.
Exactly.
Yes, Jesus God. That's Jeff on a cell phone. Sick bastard. Let's see,
you might as well take them all and get them over
with. Yeah, it's like I'm looking at the phones, and I lift my hand to touch the phone line to pick it up, but... All right, hold on.
This one's pretty gross.
No, not like the last one. Okay, let's just get it over with. Here's a full-time listener. It's Joe and the Beef. What's up?
First of all, F-Matt with a pair of shriveled-up bull testicles.
This F-Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Who continues to congratulate themselves on a shrewd purchase of advertising, yeah.
Secondly, the book should be titled What to Do When Having a Friend for Dinner.
Having a Friend for Dinner. Excellent. That's very good. Having friends.
Okay, yeah,
dinner.
But that guy kind of stole my thunder. The rubber bands basically shrink off all the blood and the life from the testicles. But here's what's great. In Sunnyside, which you know is just right up the Yakima Valley where we both grew up
at. I know Sunnyside.
My uncle, when he went to high school, was in the 4-H club. The only way, the final test for passing that class was they had to go out to the local sheep farm, and they had to castrate sheep. Do you know how they castrate sheep?
I'm about to find out.
Okay, what you do is you grab the testes in both hands,
mm-hmm.
and then you reach up under there with your mouth and take a nice big old bite and bite them.
Oh, you are
right
lying. You are just making that up.
No, I swear to God, dude. I swear to God. You call any sheep farmer, that is exactly the way they used to castrate sheep. I know it for a fact. I'm not lying yet. I wouldn't...
In the name of God, in the name of all that is decent and good and right, who would ever think of that?
You had to do it to pass the freaking class, dude.
What is one of the four H's like? Hell? You know, it's, you know, horrible?
Well, you know, I mean, you're in a farming community, agriculture community, and 90% of the kids coming out of school would probably end up, you know, chewing on testes anyway for, you know, as a job anyway.
Well, okay. There you go. There's Joe in Beaverton.
It's like hell, hedonism, horror, and heartbreak.
What are the four H's? 4-H. Hooves and... Ha-ha-ha-ha. Yeah, I tried one. What are the four... anyone? Bueller? What are the four H's? Hooves, hearth, how do you do... Hawaii, hallelujah, hamalama ding dong. I don't know. I have no idea what the.
No idea. I've got a name suggestion though.
For the cannibal book.
Yeah.
This show's just gone right into the toilet. Yes.
Wiener schnitzel.
Wiener. All right. Let's just end the show now. Can we just go to Henry or something? Or just there's a test pattern or something we can just...
Lycus doesn't start for a few hours yet, so you're pretty much stuck.
Jesus. All right, here's Tim Riley. Let's do the Aussie Watch. Let's do that. Here's your Aussie Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show. Well, a security guard is being credited for saving Ozzy Osbourne's life following his ATV accident earlier this week. In an interview set to appear in tomorrow's edition of the Daily Mirror, Sharon Osbourne reveals her husband, quote, stopped breathing for a minute and a half and had no pulse following a Monday's crash. We don't know if he did any permanent damage. Well, you always got to assume these stories are twice as bad as you hear. So if you hear that he's been in an accident, you know that it's serious. If you hear that it's serious, you know he was probably almost dead because they never reveal the whole truth.
Right. She says a member of the Osbourne security team, whom she won't identify, rushed to his aid and was able to bring him back. Ozzy was then rushed to a local hospital where he underwent emergency surgery to correct a fractured vertebrae and 8 fractured ribs. Sharon, who calls her husband's injuries horrendous, says doctors won't know if there's any lasting damage until Ozzy is taken off his ventilator, which he's been confined to since his surgery. And English hospitals are like the worst thing. They like go back to the 1700s.
Filled
crappy
with
windows. And
filled with streptococcus and spittoons. Yeah, all right.
She adds his whole body is traumatized.
Yeah, there's your Ozzy watch for Friday. At least nobody bit off his testicles. Thank God for small mercies. We've got this. Rick, if you were an advertiser looking for a bunch that needed salvation, where would you spend your dollars? The fish? In the watchtower? No, sir. I submit that you go right to the den of inequity itself. The Rick Emerson Show. This is a classic American advertising strategy. Maybe you can get Hog Whitman to be the poster boy of Emersonian debauchery and really pump up the bottom line using those Baptist and right-winger ad budgets next.
Well, it's a station safe for the whole family.
Well, that is, it's, well, maybe that's what it is. You know what it is? It's like when Rush was interviewed in Playboy magazine years ago. And he got a bunch of crap for it, and he said, you know, he said, you need to go where the sinners are so that they may be converted. So maybe that's why the God guys are all, it's like those God guys on Sunday. Nice people, but I always wondered why, you know, why they're here. There's a million stations you could, but I guess that's it. They're coming to where the salvation is needed the most. Here at a station that discusses cannibalism and the biting off of testicles and so on. Rick, just shut your goddamn mouth and read the effing paper they put in front of you. Help Sarah save her voice for another day. Quit effing complaining to everyone about it. Don't whine, you dick. P.S. F. Matt with your bitchy little complaints.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
What the hell was that about?
That's about the Beaverton Music ad, I think, which is, that's one of the best purchases Russ ever made. He's really getting some pats on the back from friends and coworkers over that one. Yeah. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's see what's on TV tonight. On UPN, it's Dr. No with Sean Connery, who's probably the best 007.
That's what I'm talking about. Is Dr. No the one where he where's the, do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die! Is that it? Is that Dr. No?
I'm not sure.
Or is that the
Goldfinger? I don't remember.
It might be
Goldfinger.
All right.
The Christmas list is on tonight with Mimi Rogers.
The only Christmas gift I want is Mimi Rogers just to go on television and be nude for 2 hours. That's it. That's the Christmas gift that Mimi Rogers could give us. Go on television and just take off your shirt. Because Mimi Rogers, I don't really know if you all appreciate this, if you haven't seen this. Mimi Rogers has the largest breasts you are ever going to see in your life. I mean, they're all real. You can tell that's God's gift to her. They're unbelievable. I mean, it's like you almost need a widescreen television just to really take them in. I mean, they're fantastically enormous. It's unbelievable. It really can't even be grasped or explained or quantified. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
A Simple Plan is on tonight with Bill Paxton and Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, what a great movie that is, man. Have you ever seen A Simple Plan?
No,
Simple Plan is a great, great, great movie. It's directed by Sam Raimi, who did, of course, the Evil Dead films. It's very much like a Coen Brothers movie. Kind of a little bit of element of, in my opinion, I'm speaking solely for me now. It's got elements of Fargo, and it achieves some of those things a lot better than Fargo does. It's a great movie. I won't spoil the film. Essentially what happens is Bill Paxton and two of his really stupid pals find like $1 million in the woods from like a crashed airplane, and they decide to to kill the guy and keep the money. And so it's Bill Paxton who is smart, and the other two guys are really dumb. And the next 2 hours of the film are him trying to keep the dumb guys from spilling the secret, and it's just like the most nerve-wracking movie you've ever seen in your life. So it's good stuff. You should watch that.
Jenny Garth plays Rebecca Chandler, a journalist who's assigned to uncover the identity of Secret Santa. I spoke with her about her decision to do a TV movie.
It wasn't your typical MOW. It wasn't, woman in peril or disease of the week sort of story. You know, it's a really heartwarming, sort of sweet Christmas movie. And it's a movie that my kids are going to love to watch for years and years to come. So I really wanted to do it.
Does she have kids, Jenny Garth? That's unfortunate.
Yeah, she has, I think, one.
Well, I was going to say two, but...
That ruins it. Yeah.
Tell us about the line Barbara Billingsley says to Rebecca that you'll never forget.
She says to Rebecca, good night, dear. And every time she said it, I would just flash to, the beeb. Where's the beeb? Is the beeb in the scene with me? Because it was just sound exact. She sounds exactly like she sounded then, and she looks exactly the same. So
how old is she?
Weird. It's like she's been in some sort of Nickelodeon Nick at Night time warp machine or something.
Yeah, boy, you're not a smart girl, are you? Well, that's too bad. All right, here's Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
Now for the Grave Watch.
Here's your Grave Watch for Friday.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone.
And I'm sitting alone digging up bones.
Off we go to Eaton, Ohio.
Eaton?
Yep.
Is this another cannibal story?
Is that like... Yeah, I was going to say, that's Eaton, Germany. Ought to be the... yeah, okay. Never mind.
Well, a dog did what Preble County investigators couldn't. After a week of searching, it found a human skull, likely the one stolen from a crypt in Preble Memory Gardens. We talked about this last week.
Well, this is the guy who'd stolen the head with his friends or whatever, yeah, and then had gone and kicked it around like a foosball or whatever. Yeah. But they couldn't find the head later because he tossed it. Like he said, you know, cheese it, cops, you know, and he just, you know, and he like ran and kicked the head off a bridge or something. And so what, a dog found it?
Yeah, Sydney, a black lab, picked up a human skull along Twin Creek and carried it home Wednesday afternoon.
Imagine throwing a stick for your dog to catch and he comes back with somebody's head. That's got to be a little freaky.
So John P. McMurray and his three accomplices drove to his apartment in New Lexington where they displayed a severed head on top of a mug McMurray had made in shop class. McMurray placed the head back in a black plastic bag, walking a quarter mile from his apartment in Ohio 503 in New Lexington, and threw it off the bridge. So it's been found.
Here's the thing about this is, the number of people who would really want to go break into a crypt, and if memory serves in the original story, use a steak knife to saw off some dude's head, take it home, display it on top of the TV, and then... I mean, it's like finding one guy who wants to do that. Well, I don't know. I mean, hell, this cannibal found 400 people that wanted to be eaten, apparently. So maybe it's not. I mean, it is a strange world out there. It is a really bizarre world. All right, there you go. There's your Grave Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Digging up bones. Zooming things that's better left.
All right, we got more on the way. Stay there. Jolie from the front desk. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Top five Sinatra songs of all time because of his birthday. Stay there. It's all on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
See, here's an email that only this show gets. Rick, Here's the worst castration photos you'll see all year. Click here. Yeah, I don't think so. I think not.
I know you, and I know
Jeff?
That you will.
No, I'll put them on the website so other people... I'm still getting email about that. Remember we put up the video of the guy getting the thing shoved into his deal?
Mm-hmm.
And into a place that you think would be too small to hold it? I'm getting just still an email. Dude, why did you take down the video? It's the best. And I guess it's just people sitting around forcing their friends to watch it. I think it's a whole weird daisy chain of people sending
that
to friends.
I subjected both my roommates to it.
Right, because you don't want to
suffer
alone.
I was like, dude, you got to see this, man. It'll blow your mind. And then you just sit them down and hit play and back up.
Just like the head and the thing. Like, it's just something you can't believe could actually happen.
All right. Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, coming up later on today, we got the top five Sinatra songs of all time. Also, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian going to be here. All right, we got this. Okay, I knew we'd get an answer on this somewhere. This is from, of course, Aaron, Geek in the City. Dude, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die, is from Goldfinger. And then he says, dude, and this is in all caps, by the way. Dude, you must rent The Massage with Mimi Rogers. She is, except I think it's called Full Frontal Massage or Full Body Massage. I know that because Mr. Skin was on the show with us from MrSkin.com and he was talking about it. Because he listed, remember one time he listed like the Mr. Skin 100 or something? It's like the hottest, the 100 like best nude scenes or whatever of all time. And like number two is this Mimi Rogers film. And it's just, it's her and what's his name, Brian... God, what's his name? Not Brian Cox. Brian Brown, I think. The guy from FX. From that movie FX. Is it Brian Brown? And the whole movie, I swear to God, well, I mean, the bits I've seen of it anyway, it's just Brian Brown Teaching Women How to Love Again by rubbing canola oil on them while they're nude. I mean, that's the... And there's the... I mean, it's one of those things, and it's a fairly recent film. It's not one
of
those...
How does one get cast in that type of role?
I don't know. It's one of those things, and it's not like, it's not one of those early, well, I did it when I was young and a struggling actor. It's not like that have you seen that Sylvester Stallone film? A Night at Kitty and Studs? Yeah. It's not like that. I mean, this was done, pretty recently. Like, after me, I think it was after she was married to Tom Cruise, even. But it's this whole movie of just her, there's this 30-minute scene of her just laying on a table, and Brian Brown, hold on. Just the long, lingering massage. I mean, it's worth a rental. Aaron, Geek in the City, PSF Matt with a Samocam.
This F Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
That's what I'm talking about. There you go. All right, it's five. Oh, speaking, by the way. Let's address this business right now. Speaking of Aaron Geek in the City, and I've just got to say this because I would be remiss if I did not bring this up. Now, you may remember this happened, yesterday, the day before. We had a guy email in, and he was like, he wanted an answer about it. Because, one thing we know here, one thing dudes know, there's one thing that guys are really good at, and guys are really good at pop culture. That's what guys have. Guys have pop culture knowledge. I'm not saying that women don't. And I know that there are women out there that know a fair amount of pop culture. There are women who have, pop culture pockets that they're very good at. But I'm saying, as a rule, though, 98% of the guys guys don't even remember what color your eyes are. The guy probably doesn't even remember, your birthday. But that guy, of course, remembers, he remembers everything about, good times, right? He remembers everything about what's happening. That's, so that's what guys are all about. So we have Aaron Geek in the City who has all this. And this guy emailed in and he says, Rick, I have a question for Aaron about a cartoon in the mid-1980s on Saturday morning about a teenage boy that could morph into a red sports car. Could you help with the name of the show? I believe the name Turbo was in the title. I would like to know the whole title. Can you relay this request to Aaron Geek in the City? And so then Aaron emails back with, dude, this one had me, almost. 1985, Jason the Wheeled Warriors. Lame show, but the villain was cool. The evil Saw boss. That's all I remember. One of the many attempts to turn a crappy toy into a cartoon. Aaron Geek in the City. Which, it turns out, is not only wrong, but kind of spectacularly wrong. It's sort of completely and totally wrong. So we got this one. This is from the other Aaron. This is from Haiku Master Aaron. Ha ha ha, he says in all caps. I knew he wasn't the end-all, be-all of geeks. As I indicated to you in my previous emails, the cartoon the listener was looking for was Turbo Teen, where the kid turns into a red sports car. Go to the link below for proof. F the geek in the city. Then we get this one. Let's see. Your faithful listener, Aaron, is misinformed. The cartoon in question is, in fact, Turbo Teen. I cannot believe Aaron has gotten it wrong. His credibility as a geek is now in question, especially in the realm of cartoons. I want him to admit that he is wrong. So, and it goes on and on. I got 500 emails of this type. So, I'm not sure. We'll have to see what the response from the other side on this is. But it's the sort of thing that you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to recover from. You're trying to dig yourself out of that.
Have been two cartoons about boys that turned into cars.
Yeah, but the guy specifically said in his question that the cartoon had Turbo in the title somehow. I mean, that's what he said.
Yeah.
And so, but that's the sort of thing that, guys take that sort of stuff really seriously. It's like an affront to, is it like a small example? Have you seen that new, in fact, there was an article about it. And here it is. I pulled this because there was an article out in the living section this week. That new Trivial Pursuit game that came out that's just pop culture. Have you seen that? And we got a bunch of copies of it at work. They sent us a bunch of those. And I took one home, and so we were kind of playing it this weekend. And it's like, because the rest of my family won't play against me anymore, Trivial Pursuit. My family, it's at a certain point just like, I was just forbidden from competing. The rest of my family won't even play against me, right? And so, well, we have this Trivial Pursuit, pop culture edition. And so, it's me, Lara, and this other, our friends Ryan and Tracy are there. And so we're playing the Trivial Pursuit game, and we're not 20 minutes into the game when suddenly they take a vote while playing. Everybody, the other players take a vote, and they pass a new rule saying that I have to answer two questions on every space before I can move on. So they start slowly handicapping me. So I end up playing this bizarre, like, affirmative action version of Trivial Pursuit. You know, it's why I feel like, it's just terrible. And so by the end of the game, I was having to answer like 17 questions every time I wanted to get a wedge right. And then they would mock me relentlessly when I got one wrong, right? Like despite the fact that I had to answer five times the amount of questions everybody else did. It's because they're afraid of my knowledge. And let me also note this, by the way. For those who are listening out there, and maybe for those at Parker Brothers who may be paying attention, who are people, you know, the people who have a little pull, a little clout at the board game division, let me tell you that you've also got an incorrect answer in the new Trivial Pursuit game. Not unlike in the old Trivial Pursuit game in which they incorrectly identified Godzilla as being a Tyrannosaurus Rex, which he is not. Let me tell you, in the new Trivial Pursuit pop culture game, there was a question about the 1980 sci-fi miniseries V, and the answer given by the game is incorrect. The answer given by the game is wrong. You just know from me. You just know from me, if you get the question about V in the game, that the answer they would have you believe to be true is not true. It is, in fact, completely false. I am here to state definitively that they don't know what they're talking about. Bunch of crap. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Mark, Home Depot, you're on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Full-time listener here.
Thank you. Excellent. Well done.
Firstly, I'd also like to fire out, F Matt with a sprig of holly.
There you go. F Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Kind of seasonal, of course.
Yes.
Hey, contrary to your belief here, we have lots of hot women coming to this store.
What, at Home Depot?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're all looking for other women, aren't they?
Not necessarily. They usually go back looking for the guys shucking the goods and the lumber, et cetera, back there. But they come here looking for decorated questions, and you know, I work at the paint desk, and man, they do come in here.
And so, but these aren't women that are like coming to buy a hammer for themselves or something.
No, they come in getting paint and things.
Yeah, all right. So they're going home to put up like a shelf or a swath of wallpaper or something.
But yes, but they do come into the store.
All right. Okay. Well, fair enough. Well, I stand corrected then.
There are actually some hot women that work at Home Depots too.
Really?
And like
that
Lowe's and stuff. Yeah.
You know what is hot is when there's a woman working at a place that they typically don't work at. You know what I mean? And what's a good example?
Like Napa Auto Parts.
Napa Auto Parts, or you know, like you go to some hardcore computer store, you know, something like that. Like you know, you find the lone woman who's working at like the. Like, I don't know, the internet gaming cafe or something, running like the Half-Life 2 machine or something. That's always hot. I think we can all agree on that. All right. Well done. That's Mark at Home Depot. Okay, so we have now, this only took about 30 seconds, we have now the response from Aaron, geek in the city, who would question his geekhood. Subject line, I'm your Huckleberry. All right, all you geek haters out there. Even the king drops the ball once in a while. He's man enough to admit that, but that doesn't mean you can kick a geek when he's down. So any of you punks out there that think you can take me, bring it. Step into the ring, mother effers, or maybe the geek off is too much for your feeble brains. Come on, chumps. Are you gonna smoke that blaster or just stand there and bleed? Bring it on. My phaser is set to frag. Aaron, geek in the city.
It's smoke that skin wagon.
I'm just saying. Aaron, geek in the city. P.S. F. Matt with all the
skin
Aaron.
Skin that smoke wagon.
Can I read the email? Trying to get to the F. Matt here. All right. That's never mind. You've blown the flow of the email now. I tried to get to the F.
There was an error in the quote.
What?
Read the line about
blaster. But that's from Star Wars. The blaster.
Oh, I thought he was doing Tombstone.
It's like when Obi-Wan is talking about, this is a lightsaber, the weapon of the Jedi, you know, much, you know, more delicate than a clumsy blaster. Never mind. That's pointless. I can't finish the email. Anyway, so there you go. So there's the challenge. The gauntlet. Wizard is about to die. Thrown down by Aaron. Geek in the city. Yeah. We come back. We got Joe from Portland. And more of your phone calls plus Jolie from the front desk. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Crazy lady.
from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah Dillon, who's sounding much better today, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Once again, her spry and exuberant self.
See, Tony, it wasn't a Star Wars thing, though. It was a Tombstone thing, because he says, are you going to do that or just stand there and bleed,
right,
which is the whole obsessing. Billy Bob thing.
Okay, I know. But it's a geek reference inside a geek reference. It's, are you going
to... I'm not deep enough geek-wise to pick that up.
I think we all know that's not true. All right, here's Sarah with the traffic.
All right, we have an accident.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up here in just a short time, we got Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Later on, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian is going to be here. Top five Sinatra songs of all time. You'll be listening for that. All right, we've got Joe in Portland. Joe, you're on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. What's up?
Good afternoon. I was calling to take up the challenge.
Which challenge?
The challenge, the gauntlet that was thrown by Aaron Geek in the City.
Oh, not the full body massage challenge.
That wouldn't be much of a challenge.
That one's still available. We can still do that. We're still waiting for somebody.
Well, see, it's kind of predictable for a girl to call in for that, but I thought this might be a little more interesting.
So this is, because Aaron Geek in the City, who just, and again, we got mad love for Aaron, but I mean, there's just no way to get around the fact that he was, that he really, really just ate dust on this one. And so you are taking him up on his geek throwdown challenge.
Well, I don't understand who couldn't remember that Turbo Team was turned into a car by hot water and back into a team by cold water.
Well, listen to her twist the knife. Listen to her stick it in. But the thing is, if he loses to a girl, he'll have to kill himself.
That's why I thought it would be more interesting. I've got the credentials to back it up.
Okay, now how, really, does that mean that we could... I mean, how do we know that you've got the geek skills?
Collecting comics since fourth grade, working for a comic book store and a comic book publisher. I watch too much TV in general. I've been known to do a little gaming on the side.
All right, so we're going to start easy here. We'll start easy.
All right.
The three family members on a routine expedition who met the greatest earthquake ever known were?
See, okay, I do have one weakness, which is movies, which I'll admit to right off.
Okay. Well, I'm saying right now. Land of the Lost question. It's a Land of the Lost question. That's setting the bar pretty low, Joe. I don't know.
You're going to make me cry.
I'm not trying to make movies. Okay, I'll tell you what. You know, because I am a dork, I've actually got... Here's the thing. This Trivial Pursuit question that was incorrect.
You are not carrying the cards
I've got the card in my back pocket. No, because I got to call Parker Brothers and tell them that... listen to the question. Here's the question.
You are a man with a mission.
The question is, and this is the TV category from this card, it says, what did V stand for in the 1984 miniseries? Anyone?
Victory.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you turn it over, visitors, which is wrong. That is wrong, because the logo for the show is the big red spray-painted V, which happens on the final scene. It's very nearly the final scene of the episode, and it's when the kids are defacing the visitors poster, and the old guy, whatever his name, Rosenbaum, who is a survivor of the Holocaust and sees the similarities between the alien takeover and the Hitler takeover of Germany, says, no, no, no. And he takes the spray can and he sprays a big V over the aliens and he says, for victory. You understand? Tell you friends.
And see, this is the point in the show where all your listeners realize they could never beat you in a geek off.
Well, I'm just
you
saying.
Are
all right.
Geek among geeks. But...
okay. All right, I'll tell you what. So we'll give you a couple here. I'll just read you a couple of the questions off this card.
Oh, I'm nervous that I'm just going to get my face put in mud
there.
All right.
In the category of music, what does ELO stand for?
Oh, God damn it. That's not the...
Oh, come on.
No, will you just wait one second, mister? I'm totally... Germany.
You're kidding me.
Kristen from accounting has
joined us. I want to say Electric Light Orchestra, but
well, there you go.
Right.
How old are you?
Oh, damn it.
No, you're... Okay, well, that is correct, but you were unsure. All right, we'll do this. Okay, here's another one. This is from the fad category. What clothing chain flies under, quote, United Colors? End quote.
Then it's on, isn't
all
it?
All right, there you go.
See, of course, women are always going to know the fashion.
Yeah, like I've ever owned anything by Benetton.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. What celebrity would you say you most resemble? This might actually swing the whole thing in your favor.
Oh, goodness. That's a tough one. I could send you a pic, but I don't know that I look like any...
Well, I'm all in favor of that.
I'm told I'm the hot side of normal, but other than that...
Well, that's better than anybody, you know, here, you know, except for...
But then again, that could depend on how much they've had to drink.
Yeah, that is true. I'll tell you what, drop us an email, send us an email, a picture always helps, and, I don't know, and give us, like, a contact number or something, and we'll see what we can do. We could have, I'm not sure what you could do, like, a tournament-style geek-off where we whittle it down to two people, and then somebody takes on Aaron. I don't know how we do it. I'm not sure exactly how we do it.
So are you telling me that not only does a girl have to be geeky, but she's got to be hot, too?
I'm saying that
always. Are you telling me that Aaron's some sort of hottie?
I'm saying...
See, but it doesn't matter for the men.
You don't have to be a hottie.
You don't have to be a hottie, but curiosity is...
But it instantly
is, you know,
will get you into the higher rounds of the tournament if you are. It's,
well, yeah. I guess I'm in, then.
All right. Well, okay. I'll tell you what. No, seriously, though. Drop us an email with a phone number or something, and we'll be in touch.
All right.
All right. There you go. There's Joe in Portland.
Oh, but if she doesn't know ELO, come on.
She might be hot. Be quiet. Bob says, Rick, one lousy goddamn mistake and everybody wants to jump on Aaron like he's the town whore. Give him an effing break. That's Bob.
Exactly. Poor little Aaron.
It's time for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. What a girl wants, what a girl now everybody's calling in wanting to throw down. How are you, Jolie?
Well, you know, my breasts are not tender, so I think that's a good sign.
What are you, a chicken? What are you talking about?
Well, I was looking up on the internet the signs, you know?
Are you PMSing?
Pregnancy?
Oh,
remember, we, you know, right. Dizzy spells.
Really?
And stuff.
Really? The biggest sign of being pregnant is that you've got a fetus in you. So have you thought about just checking to, Okay, never mind. All right, sorry.
EPT, honey.
You know, speaking of breasts, you know our old friend Liz?
At the front desk.
She's
Liz
pregnant?
She sent me this fabulous article about a study on how fellatio may significantly decrease the risk of breast cancer in women.
So we
can check that out later. Maybe we'll give it to Tim.
Did you need any other reason?
You'll give what to Tim?
Yeah, I was going to say, does Tim look like he's...
The article!
Okay.
Tim Riley conducting a news probe.
Exclusive KOTK.
Exactly. Yeah, he is right. The head of the news department, so.
Okay. You know, it's my turn to ask the question today,
right.
Isn't it?
All right, yeah, we're running behind.
Yeah, well,
there's a shot.
Oh, God. Well, if you wouldn't talk about geeks so much, you know, you might not.
The show spiraled out of control about an hour ago.
Okay. Well, here's my question. It's kind of twofold. First is, why must you men drive like maniacs, and then on the way, you know, act like you really know where you're going when we know, in fact, that you do not? And oh no, God forbid you stop and ask someone where you are, or, you know, pull out that compass.
The answer to the first question is because we like to get where we're going in a hurry. We like to get from point A to point B quickly. We don't sightsee. We don't take the scenic route. We don't go out of our way to get somewhere. If it places down the street, we drive in a straight line.
But no, it's like this, Rick, because, you know, I think what you guys think is that you're impressing us.
I guess I'm not really here. But no.
Oh, yeah, now you're getting exactly what I feel like, Rick, so just stop and let me finish, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, because the women, they get sick, we have anxiety attacks, and what we think about here now is you're thinking, oh man, this is fun, faster, faster, let's see how fast we can take this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like that night when my husband and I were driving down 84, I don't know how much we had to drink, don't even ask, driving 110 miles an hour, thinking, you know, he's thinking, yeah, this is great, let's go, let's go. And then there's me thinking, you know, if you kill me or if I get paralyzed, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to come back and haunt you for your life.
Okay, whoa. This is it started out sounding like something a little too personal.
Yeah.
A little too close to home.
But no, it's all men because, you know, I'm sitting there driving and then there's these a-holes that, like, zip you, you know, cut you off.
Jolie,
and they're driving, chasing, like, 90 miles an hour down the freeway.
In case
not you thinking about anybody else but themselves.
If you haven't noticed, there's women out on the road like that, too.
And at least
I'm
we can parallel park.
I can parallel park with the best of us. You don't even drive, Rick.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
I'll throw down for the parallel parking because nobody parks parallel.
No, I'm actually pretty bad at it.
Oh,
too,
I hate. Well, you know, we should have a contest about this, not
the
like
thing
Rick,
is,
the Brady Bunch with the
difference
egg.
Between you all and us is if we're going to get lost, we'd rather do it quickly. You guys do the same thing, but you take another hour to do it. You know what I mean?
No, we don't get lost, Rick. We know where we're going.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, fat chance.
You just look for the Nordstrom sign. All right, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes me happy sets you free, and I'm thanking you for knowing exactly. Mm-hmm.
from Portland. It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.